He's shown himself strong. Anyway, he caught Paul's attention, obviously, and Paul took him under his wing, and he's being a guide to him. He's mentoring him, and so he's writing this letter to him, and perhaps some scholars believe that it's at a time of discouragement in Timothy's life, and so Paul is writing these two letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy. He's writing letters of encouragement to him. You and I need to be encouraging, and especially to our younger generation. In the next 10 years, things are going to drastically change at Osage Baptist Church. They're going to change in your life in the next 10 years, drastically. Some of you won't be here 10 years from now. Some of you may not be here a year from now or a week from now. But things are drastically changing. And so there is this desperate need in the life of the church to hold on to the Bible, to hold on to God's Word and to grip it with all that we have, to teach it to our kids, to teach it to our grandkids, to have it in our heart that we might not sin against God, to hold on to what is right because we're living in desperate times. And so in chapter 4, Paul begins to really pour down under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he says, I charge thee therefore, because of everything else he's already told him, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. He didn't say preach your opinion or preach politics. He said just preach the word. Proclamate is what that word is. Proclamate the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time, look at it, for the time will come. And we're in it. The time will come, and we're in it. Now, most likely they were in it in Timothy's day. But we're in it right now, for sure. As the birth pains get stronger, as the coming of the Lord becomes more and more close, and the birth pains of His coming are becoming more and more apparent to the church who are reading and studying the Bible, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Are you hearing me today? Do you see this? After their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Man, if you don't believe that's taking place, turn your TV on to Turner Broadcasting. And you'll see it hour after hour. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelize. Win other people. Take as many with us as we possibly can. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul goes on to say, I'm getting ready to leave. And you and I, for many of us, we're getting ready to leave. We better get after it while the getting is good. Father, I pray that you'd bless this time that we have together. Bless the hearers and open our ears to the truth of your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In 2 Timothy 4, we're living in the days of verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. You see, there is this that has come upon the church that you can be a Christian, you can be a member of the church, and you can just live any way that you want to. It doesn't really have anything to do with your daily life from Monday through Sunday. That part doesn't change. You just go ahead living the same way that you live. Men and women living together without being married. My old aunt had a name for that. I don't hardly ever hear that used anymore, do you? Shacking up. That sounds kind of vulgar, doesn't it? It's not what the Bible ever intended to happen. It's not for Christian people. It is not for the church. The lost world may be doing that, but the church is not to be involved in it. And so he says that they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll find them a place to go. In verse 3, they'll find them a place to go, and they'll get folks around them where they're will do things after their own lust. They'll follow their own lust. And they'll heap to themselves teachers saying what they would like to hear. I want you to know that the Word of God's not up for opinion. It's the truth of the Word. It's not, I'll tear this part out because I don't want that to apply to me. I'm appalled at the churches that have torn out Romans 1. I mean, surely they have, because they don't know what it teaches. In 2 Timothy 3, if you'll turn back a page, if at least I do in my Bible, and look at verse 1. We are living in the days of this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at verse 3. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. Women killing their babies. A nation who would make it legal for a mother to kill her own child. I tell you, God is not pleased with it. Without natural affection. That's not natural affection. Men with men is not natural affection. Women with women is not natural affection. Men with little children is not natural affection. Women with little children doing those things that are unnatural is not natural affection, but it's unnatural and it's of the devil. And it's ungodly. But we're living in those days. Fierce, despisers of those things that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, that is, that they gather as if they're going to church. They suit up. As if they're going to church. They, us, whoever it is. They suit up as if they're going to church. As if they're going to worship a holy God. A God that has not changed. And it doesn't change, and it will not change. And because the times have changed, He has not changed. We might change our method. But oh friend, you listen to me today. The message has not changed. And the message of the Bible has not changed. It's the Word of God. And the Bible says that it will endure forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word will not pass away. It is the same. Young people, listen to me today. It is the same. God has not changed. Ruth K. Jones wrote the words to this song in 1940. And in 1940, the United States was in great turmoil. Some of you remember those days. You're old enough to remember those days. World War II, we were about to join the world in a war in World War II. And so there was great turmoil taking place in the world. And there's great turmoil taking place in the world right now, even as I speak. In times like these, you hear it? You need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Now listen to me. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. What? Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I'm telling you, dear friend, that all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand other than Jesus Christ. He's not one of the ways, my friend. He is the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody, nobody comes to the Father except by me. Buddha's not one of the ways. Mohammed's not one of the ways. Seventh-day Adventist is not one of the ways. Jehovah's Witness is not one of the ways. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. You agree? Well, then say amen. There you go. When my grandson Miles went off to Afghanistan, as I hugged him by, I said, son, keep your head down. But he needed more than to just keep his head down. He needed an anchor for his soul that Hebrews talks about. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15:33. I read an article several years ago when Billy Graham was being interviewed, and the article asked Billy Graham this question. He said, when we see your crusades, and there's literally thousands and thousands of people in those stands, in those auditoriums, in those football fields, and at the end of that time after Billy Graham preached, you give an invitation for folks to come to Jesus. And people leave their seats and come down to the front. And the TV cameras record it. They just come in streams down to the front to give their life to Jesus. Now, many of those are counselors that are coming down. Many of those are prayers that are coming down. I had an opportunity to be involved in that one time. In Little Rock, when Billy Graham had a crusade there. Some of you are not even old enough to know about that. But he said, all those folks that give their heart to Jesus, he said, how many of those stay with it? Have you done any research to know if they're still in church? Are they still doing the Lord's work? Are they still staying with it? Have you got any information on that? Billy Graham said, the best we can tell, about 10% stay with it. In the average Baptist church, one of the biggest problems is attrition. It's people coming through the front door and going out the back door. Well, they don't actually go out this door. They'll either go out that door or that door, but they won't come back. And that's true in the church at Osage, and that's true in churches all around us, whether they're Baptist or not, is that they come. And they get something. But I think that many times they don't get the Lord. Young people, listen to me. We've been doing research. We've been following you. And we have discovered that many of you, real high percentages of you, when you get out of high school and you're no longer under mom and dad's arm, you're no longer sitting with your feet under their table, you leave church. And for many, many, many of you, you never return. You become a part of something else. See, the devil's been working in our society for a very, very long time. And he's really, really good at his job. He has worked in the universities. And those universities who have ungodly teachers, professors, are turning out educators and professional people that have no concern for God, and some of them don't even believe that God exists. And they go back out into the society, thousands and thousands and thousands of recruits. And they go into the public school and they begin to teach in the public schools. And many of those are ungodly. Now, we've got some godly teachers who are here today. I know that. And I realize that. That work in the public school. I realize that. But many of them, those young people that we're raising here to love the Lord and to follow the Lord, day after day after day, they are influenced by an outside influence of Satan in the classroom and on the playground and in the gymnasiums and in the locker rooms that are against God and everything that God stands for. And then they get out into the university that is teaching an ungodly lifestyle. And that professor will say to them, you know, your mom and dad was wrong. They're old timers. This is a new age. They just mixed up. You don't have to follow that lifestyle. That Bible, that's just a book written by man. We didn't come from a creator. We come from some kind of glob of some kind in a pond. We evolved from monkeys. First I was a monkey, a swinging in a tree, and then I was a doctor with a PhD. Just look at me. I want you to see this verse. What did I say it was? Oh, 1 Corinthians 15. Y'all remember this? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Now, some of your translations will not translate it like the King James does, and some of them, I believe, are a little bit better. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The Message Bible says, bad company ruins good manners. You become like the people that you hang out with. It just works that way. In the book of Psalms, over in the middle of your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, for most of you, this is a passage that I use in premarital counseling. Psalms 1, chapter 1, verse 1. And the word in the King James, anyway, begins with the word blessed. Blessed. That word means happy. Now, the world has a definition of happy. And the Bible has a definition of happy. The world's definition of happy hinges on what is happening. What's happening right at that time? Is everything going okay? You're getting the bills paid? Nobody's desperately sick? You got a little jingle in your pocket? Boss has not been all that rough on you? And so you're happy because of the happenings that are taking place around you. But the Bible, the word happy, is much, much deeper than that. It doesn't have to do with the happenings. It has to do with an inward peace and joy in your life, a fulfillment in your life that you can only acquire by doing what the will of God is. What is going to happen, young people, when you try to fulfill your own will in your life and you do what you want to do and you follow that? When you come to the end of your life, you're going to find that your life is empty and there's nothing to show for it, even if you have junk piled all around you. You can have a big house and a nice car and lots of land and cattle on all those hills, a big bank account, but your life will be empty. It will be empty because you failed to follow the will of God. You'll have happiness according to what is happening. But then you can't control the circumstances. And life goes on. And people die. and folks get sick, and tragedy happens, and families are broken and broken up, and lives are broken, and the lives of the children suffer terribly because of that brokenness. And folks try all kinds of things to fulfill themselves and to make themselves happy. And they feel like that, well, perhaps if I take this drug, this will make me happy. This will make me feel good for a little bit. And I'll be away from my deadness and my despair for a little while if I take this drug. Or perhaps if I drink this alcohol, that'll take away my anxiety for a little while. That'll take away my worry for a little while. And the devil is painting a glorious picture of those things. And he's painting a pretty picture. And I mean, if you really want to experience the gusto, you get to this place and you drink this liquor or this beer if you really want to experience life. Or perhaps if I am unfaithful to my wife and my family, my wife and my little kids, I'll follow some kind of pursuit of fulfilling my own desire through the lust of my flesh, through having an affair with a woman that is not my wife. And the Bible says that when I become joined to a prostitute, it is a sin against my body. And it sins against my body. Maybe if I could look at these pictures, that this would fulfill me. If I watch this TV program or this movie because everybody is laughing and they're all having fun, and it seems this making fun of God and making fun of family and making fun of the Father just seems to be the thing to do. And so we'll watch this day after day after day after day. And a cloud becomes to seek over us, and when we get this in our mind until we begin to think, well, perhaps that would be an answer for me. And we get an image in our mind, especially you men. You get an image in your mind, you can't get that image out. And perhaps you die with that image in your head, even though you fight against it all of your life. Because you wanted to be happy. Because you wanted to be fulfilled, and you failed to follow what the Bible says in order to be filled. Happy, 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 blessed. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. I'm just saying that until I can get back up here behind where I can figure out what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I'm telling you, dear friend, when you get away from the Bible, you've got away from true happiness in your life. I'm going to finish this tonight. Let's stand together.